Blog Talk Radio.
Man, just barely made it on the air again, as usual. Of course, for the people listeners, you're here at UWC Radio on Thursday. You know, the show's supposed to be every Tuesday, but with work schedules and stuff like that, it's so hard to get everything together. So hopefully we can get back on track pretty soon. But we're actually here on the Thursday. I got Sonia. I'll do like me. Sonia, are you there? Sonia.
I'm here.
Good. So PDP. Couldn't make it, so luckily I still remembered how to set everything back up and get everything up on board. So, hopefully if he can, I don't know. He said he might be on his way back home pretty soon. Whatever, if he can call in, cool. If not, the reason, especially that we're on Thursday, not only because schedule mix up and stuff like that, and we couldn't get on Tuesday or Wednesday for that matter, you know, that we had to do it on Thursday is. And, you know, Sonia, I follow a lot of stuff on social media. I follow, like, all wrestling, independent, luchas, you know, Japanese or whatever. So this courageous Christina Marie, who wrestles out on the East Coast, you know, I respect a lot of these indie wrestlers that really work hard to get their name out there and to really get as much exposure as possible. And she's one that does that. So I'm like, absolutely, man, let's get you on here. Even though her show is way out there in New Jersey and she's got an appearance in Albany, New York, things like that. Let's get her on and we'll promote her and talk about it, you know, because I just have a lot of respect for somebody who really makes strides to get it out there. So she's going to be calling in about 7:15. And then about the 7:45 mark, I'm going to have Legendaro call in. There's a bunch of stuff I want to talk to him about. You know, first of all, with the show that we had, Major Love, there were so many changes. I mean, his match almost got completely turned into a different direction, but it ended up working out for the better. I mean, it really came together. So we'll talk a little bit about that with him when he comes on about the 7:45 mark, and he said he might be able to stay on for the news, so he'll hang with us for then. We'll go over some stuff that's been happening in pro wrestling news lately. But
I got a DVD one.
I'm glad you have one in the chamber so that we could talk about it, because there's always so much to talk about in this pro wrestling, the world that is pro wrestling. But we went Nicolette and I went to check out Bushido Cup, which is OCCW, Orange County Championship Wrestling. And, you know, when we go, it's literally down the street from where I live. So it's nice to just be able to go and check out the show and watch them. So Legendaro was on that show. And there's a few promoters that I was sitting with. You know, a lot of promoters nowadays go out and just to scout talent, look at them and, you know, pass out their flyers and talk about their show and stuff like that. So. There was a couple of things that went on, and I'm going to talk to Daryl about that, because there was a couple of promoters that said, well, I don't know, man, it looked like you blew up, like you were tired, and I'm like, man, to me, which we're going to talk about with Daryl, and this is something that comes from Pete himself, you know, you have to bring it out in the wrestler. And I always use this as an example. When I was coming up in the ranks, we're talking early 2000s, maybe I want to say 2001, 2002 back then. Acero Dorado, who's one of the LAFers that wrestles with Piloto and Shamu, his father-in-law, the original Dr. Maldad, I remember when I used to work against that dude, he would make me work. I mean, when I wrestled him, I knew, you know, he was going to get me up for the slam. And if I didn't protect myself or whatever, you know, you have to be ready. And it brought out a good match. So this is what I tell the wrestlers when I see something like that. I'll say, hey, man, you need to pick up the pace. You need to do this. Who am I to tell you that? You know, that's up to you. I'm just strictly there as an observer and tell you what I look like, you know. And so I told him, and which is a perfect example, which we'll talk to him about that when he gets on here, is, you know, it ended up being Legendaro and Drew Masters against Nick Zander, who came from Las Vegas unknowingly, unbeknownst to me, and Jim Stranger. And Nick Zander is a good worker. I saw that kid work out pride wrestling when we were out in Las Vegas. And I said, man, this, and it was like, thank goodness this kid showed up. But for lack of a better way of saying it, he brought it out in both of them, because that kid, that kid's a worker.
I liked him.
And everybody kind of upped their game, and it turned out to be a good match. So a lot of it is not the wrestler, it's who he's working against or whatever. But you've got to bring it out in him. If you feel like it's too slow paced, or you know, you're not getting over with the crowd, you might have to do something that you've never done before to bring it out. You know what I'm saying? So we'll talk to him a little bit about, and that's Pete. I'm telling you, man, that all that stuff goes back to that, because that it never leaves. You know what I mean? It never leaves you. You just there's certain things that you remember, and that was one of them. So you got to bring it out of them. If that crowd is silent, you know, you do something that you've never done before, or you do, you know. But I don't like that wrestlers that say "F you" and "sit down, fat boys." And that's just dumb. You just have to do something to get them going. I mean, would you agree? Well, Sonia, I'll put it to you. When you're at a show, do you want to see all these moves and high-risk moves and flip-flopping and jumping and landing on the cement and stuff like that? Or would you rather see a good match where they tell a story and you are just entertained and you want to say, hey, man, I've never seen nothing like that before. You guys got to come and check this dude out. I mean, give me your take on that.
A little from column A and a little from column B. I like watching them do the flips, like when they're jumping off and they're doing, like you said, they got to bring it out in each other. When they're really good and they're jumping off and they're catching each other, like Guy Cool and Hellman Roshan, when they against Santana Jackson, like the move that they were doing together, the ones that they like, you know, worked on together, where I don't know what to do, but those moves were awesome, and they're flipping and throwing each other, and it was like cool. I like seeing that, but I do I do love the stories though. Mm-hmm. I like when there's beef, and I do like when there's a little shit talking.
Yeah, and there's a and as a promoter or as a matchmaker or whatever, you kind of, you know, can see. So when Manny and I sat down and we decided, hey man, let's bring Santana out here, I knew if I put him, he'll work well with Sean Black as a team. But against Guy Cole and Hellman Rosecrown, you know, I thought, oh, this is gonna, you know, those are great dance partners. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they did all of them. All four of them did amazing in that match.
Right, and then
I was very impressed.
Yeah, and it doesn't stop, because you know when Mondo Rocks and Robbie Litt ended up coming down and working for Sky High, Sky High, Top Flight. I can't remember what the, you know, I don't know why, but I'm old. So what do you call it? When I saw them work, because they worked with me, and I'm like, you know, I'm a fat old man. I'm slow. I have to tell a story. That's all I got. But even during our match, I'm going, man, if I put these guys against Guy Cool and Hellman, that's going to make magical.
That would be a good one. I would want to see that.
You're constantly, you know, your mind is going, hey man, if we do this and do that. But you know, before Courageous Christina calls in, hopefully she's going to call in about the 7:15 mark, you know.
Okay.
People have no idea the stress that you go through. I mean, I know you guys do, because you've been there with us and all that, and you saw the stress that went on that day of that show. People not showing up and moving, and you know, we got to come a little bit more out of pocket because these guys are here, and let's do this and that. You know, Manny ended up falling pretty ill. I don't know if it was just completely from that, but it has a lot to do with it. You know, you're not sleeping. You're working extra hours so you can get these guys paid and stuff like that. So we want to wish him, you know, I told him, I go, dude, it's not worth it, dude. Just relax, man. It, regardless of what happens, you know, the show is going to be the show. There's only so much you can do. You can't work every match. You can't, you know, put every song on. You can't do, you know, you can only do what you can do. It's not worth it. So I told them, I said, we told each other, man, we're going to just relax for 2 weeks. We're not going to talk about wrestling. We're not going to, you know, whatever. That lasted 3 days. You know what I mean? Because he comes, hey, man, they call from such and such, and they would like us to do a show in September. They really want Santana. Can you call him and see what's going on? And I'm like, oh, my God. I go, Manny, we're going to take a week off. Yeah, I know, bro, but he's going to get booked somewhere else. You know, and so I said, all right, just this one. And then probably another 4 or 5 days later, it turned into something else. So I had to finally tell him, hey, you know, you gotta take some time off, man. Just so he's taking some time off, he's recuperating.
Good.
We were gonna meet this Sunday, but we're just gonna keep it till the following Sunday, so everybody can kind of recharge the batteries and get going and stuff like that. As I'm talking to Sonia right now, Mondo Rocks is texting because they were gonna come on Top Flight, but he's working, of course. So it just, you know what I'm saying? It's just constantly going real quick. So, you know what? Let me take a quick break, Sonia, so I can reset something before Christina calls, and we'll be right back. Can you hang on for just a second? Okay.
Yep.
And Pete, wherever you're at, man, if you hear us, call in, bro. All right, hoa. Bye, bye. I'm on the radio show till 8:30. Oh my goodness. Hold on one more. Slack it. See, he's talking about Pete. Here we go. That up. So real quick for the people listening to us here at UWC Radio, I got Sonia with me. No PDP because he's doing something silly like working and trying to make a living. But I wanted to get everything in before Courageous Christina called in because she's on the East Coast. So when it's 7:15 out here, it's actually 10:50. But Sonia, I guess New York, the East Coast is like the city that never sleeps, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I would be...
Well, right now, what time is it over there? Like 11?
No, 10. It'll be 10:15 her time when she calls in. I'd be dead. I'd be dead out there. I don't make it, dude.
Yeah.
Just like tonight, you know, I have to catch the replay of New Japan, and it comes on at 10 p.m. And I'm like, can you please make the strongest coffee yet? Because I'll never make it. Hold on a second. Sonia, let me tell you this. Now that we're talking about that, the OCCW show was supposed to start at 6 o'clock, right? They let us in at 5:30. It started maybe not too bad, maybe about 6:10, 6:15 or whatever. But it was a tournament, so there was a lot of matches, and they went kind of long. So we were all sitting together. And I didn't drink. I had a couple of waters. I had a couple of hot dogs and stuff like that. And I look at my watch, and it's 8:30. And like an old man, I turn to Jessica and I go, "It's 8:30." I go, "This has already gone on for 2 hours." I go, "I gotta get out these clothes." It's like, man, are you the epitome of an old man? I'm like, yeah, man. I'm usually in my third dream about wrestling Ric Flair and the Omni and whatever. So it ended up going till about 10 o'clock or whatever. But it was, you know, the way they did it was pretty cool. You know, it was tournament style. So each guy had about like 2 or 3 matches, you know, each to get to the finals or whatever. So it turned out to be really cool. But I'm just, that's why I like those afternoon shows. You know what I mean? Because they're in the afternoon.
Yeah, me
and I
too.
Can come home.
I'm an early person.
and I don't like to sit out in the sun or whatever. So the last time we went to the Inoki Dojo show that was in the strip mall in Santa Ana. It's outside. So there's a big – they have some of it tented off or whatever, but there's a big tree on the other side. So we took our own chairs. And dude, I was like, hey, man, we got you. And I'm like, nah, man, we brought our own chairs. Because I don't trust those little – I'm 280 pounds right now. I don't trust them little rental chairs. I'll sit – and you know what will happen? If I bust that thing, it's going to be comedy, you know, and everybody's going, oh, look at Fabiana. Yeah. He's making jokes. So,
who knows? Somebody might be recording you.
Yeah, and then that's going to be all over. But so we – it was so nice because we sat under the tree and watched from there until the main event. Then we went out in the sun and watched the main event, so it wasn't that bad. But – you know, it's a whole thing because they have, you know, they have a taco truck that not only has the tacos de carnitas and carne asada, stuff like that. They also had a pupusas, a truck. And so we ate so much. It was just ridiculous. And chicharrones, and all kinds of junk. So we had a good time. I mean, we watched wrestling. It was like a picnic area. And then we walked out into the sun for the main event because we wanted to watch up close. So we were only there for a minute. Let me get this phone call real quick right here. Hang on.
All right.
I got some spinning action.
Hello.
Hello, you're live on UWC Radio. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Is this Courageous Christina?
Yes, it is.
Ah, beautiful. Real quick for the people listening, so you're here. You're at UWC Radio. Don't forget you can go to UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to check out all the latest information. And we're live on a Thursday. We're usually on Tuesdays, but special Thursday edition. And on the line with us right now, Courageous Christina Marie. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, talk about what's going on with Christina. I know you're not too familiar with the show. Sonia Marquez is our co-host here. Sonia, say hi to Christina real quick.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good as well.
Real quick, Christina, because I got a lot I want to talk to you about. Hopefully you can stay on for a few minutes. But, you know, when we were doing the opening, I was saying, you know, she's out on the East Coast, so she's going to call in about 10:15. And I was saying, I'm an old man. I'm in bed by 8:30, quarter to 9. But it's different out there, right? I mean, you guys are so used to that type of time. 10:15 is really not bad for you guys, right?
No, it's not too bad. It depends on what day of the week it is and what, you know, falls on that day. So overall, it's like a normal time.
Yeah, because most of the people that we get on for the East Coast, we have to call in that late. And, you know, some of them are pretty cool about it. But then, of course, a lot of them are training, like, from 7:30 to about 8:30 or 9 o'clock, so they're a little tired. But, you know, here's the thing. Real quick, before we continue on, this is one of the main reasons why I got Christina Marie on the show. We want to talk a little bit about the wrestling out there on the East Coast, but out here on the West Coast, Sonia, her dad is who I trained with, and I came up in the ranks from 1996 all the way up until I'm still doing some stuff today. So that's, you know, she knows the business and from her dad and stuff like that. And one of the main things, which we don't have out here on the West Coast, which I have a hard time doing because I promote shows and I book and do stuff like that, is getting these guys to, you know, come out and do a live broadcast or come out and cut a promo and really work to get their name out there to draw the people. Now, this is one of the reasons why Christina's on with us because, you know, I follow everything. I follow all the indies. I follow East Coast, West Coast. And I saw how much she puts into getting her name out there and getting everything so that, you know, especially with social media, to get as many people to know who Christina is. And I said, let's get her on. Let me let her on here. Let me promote her show. I know you got a big show coming up Saturday and you're going to make an appearance. So talk a little bit about that. You know, I don't know how long you've been in the business, but I mean, is that, what's the word I'm looking for? Is that what you strive for? Hey, I'm in this business. I want as many people to know who I am as possible. So talk a little bit about that, getting your name out there and you know, all the things that you do and the stuff to get it out there.
My whole goal is to getting my name out there and doing the best I can is like literally challenging any single person in the ring. You know, my ultimate goal would be, if I were to say, like, to get my name out there. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm getting my name spread across. I'm doing different things. I'm showing that I'm capable of being one of the best athletes in this business. And, you know,
right.
I'm going on my 8th year after this following year, and it feels like it's been a short amount of time versus a long amount of time. And then in my short amount of time, I didn't really get my name out there. I didn't know how to really do that, you know, marketing and then, like, you know, social media and stuff. But I learned upon the way. And now I know what I need to do to get my name out there, and I need to challenge the best and get different places, different states and stuff, and I'm willing to do that. So I realized that my days have became very flexible with certain occasions. So, but I just been busting my ass, you know what I mean, man? I've just shown people like I'm one of the strongest women in this business, like stats wise, and people need to recognize that because I'm strong, I'm small, and I'm like a Tasmanian devil, and I want people to know like I'm the best. I'm the best of anything you put in front of me. You know what I mean? I always like to beat challenges, and that's like it's a real life thing to me. So like, that's what I like to go by.
And the proof is there because that's how I saw it. I saw it and I said, hey man, this girl looks like she's got something. Let's get her on. Now, me out here on the West Coast, the women are so in demand. I mean, you can ask Sonia. Sonia knows the business. Her daughter is training right now to become a wrestler. And you know, out here, how can I put this without? They can pretty much ask for quite a bit of money because they're so in demand here. You know, but you know, my daughter also, she's a wrestler too. So you know, I have to kind of pick and choose where she goes because there's so many of these guys that you know try to pick up on these girls and say, hey, I'm a promoter, blah blah blah, whatever. But there's nobody out here that I don't know. So on the East Coast, is it kind of the same? Because when I was reading that you got the show coming up, you know, in one of them, the one that you got coming up Saturday, it's you and a male tag partner against two males. Is that due to the fact that there's you know, not that many women wrestlers, or just because, look, man, this is what I want to do, this is what's booked, and I'm just doing it?
I was actually asked, you know, I've been friends with the promoter, Stan, for actually since I started, actually. He was in one of my first matches as a referee, but I knew him from a long time ago, and I knew he ran the Intergender Barnanza and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I always had date conflicts, you know what I mean? Like, I was always booked those days that he had shows, so... But it never, like, came across conversation, but I knew a matter of time, you know what I mean, I was going to reach out or he was going to reach out and we were going to talk, and it ended up having a conversation where he said, hey, you know, time to bring you in. I was like, okay, what's up? We had perfect date for it, so, and I already knew it's all about wrestling a guy, you know,
yeah.
And then when he told me I was in a tag match, I was even more excited, thinking maybe my opponent, you know, my tag partner was a female, but it doesn't matter if it's a female or a guy, because whoever I'm with, we're going to rock that shit anyways. Like, we're going to tear the house down. Like, put us in front of anyone. Like, Mike Law, like, we're ready for this. Like, that's, like, we're excited. So, but Stan, anyways, when with wrestling a guy, I've had a couple intergender matches, actually, within my career. I've had maybe a handful of intergender matches, and I really like to put my strength out on the guys more turned up more than the females in my gimmick. So I don't know. I like it. I haven't done an intergender match in a while. I'm looking forward to it, and it's going to be a really great show. So it's going to be a killer match too.
Well, real quick for the people, listeners here on DWC Radio, if you know, we go all over worldwide, which is so nice about Blog Talk, but if you want to check it out, it's called Bash at the Bonanza. It's this Saturday, July 9th. Doors open at 7:30. Bell time is 8 p.m. It's at the H2O Wrestling Center, which is at 1041 Glassboro Road, and it's Building C, Suite 1, which sounds like you got to climb some stairs or whatever, but it's Building C, Suite 1, and that's in Williamstown, New Jersey. It's going to be Christina Marie and Mike Law versus Ross and Bradley. Can you tell us a little bit about this Ross and Bradley? Because I'm looking at this picture, and I'm like, man, they do some damage. So is this your first time going against these guys, or give us a little bit of that background that made this match happen?
Actually, it's the first time I'm ever stepping in the ring with all of them, even my tag partner. It's the first time I'm sharing a ring with them. I'm not going to lie, the picture looks pretty different.
Intense.
You know, I'm not going to say scary because I'm courageous. So, you know, but anyways, like, Ross looks like a monster, and you know, and then Chris Bradley, you know, I've done looked at his pictures and stuff, and I was like, damn, you know, this guy likes to bleed. So now I know I got to go a lot tougher than I even anticipated. So, you know, at the same time, I'm looking forward to it because that's one big guy, and you got to remember, I deadlift 552 pounds and I squat 380. So And he looks like he's about that, if not lighter. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah. But, you know, especially when you look at Christina, you could tell, you know, what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. You know, and she's always training and you know, so you, it's going to make for a good match. And also, you're going to be at something called Heroes Hideout. Now, explain this to me real quick because you got an appearance over there. It's going to be Saturday from – it's the same Saturday, wow, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Colony Center Mall in Albany, New York. Uh-huh. I'm not too familiar. So is that pretty far from New Jersey or about how long is that? Because that sounds like a full day. You're going to be making an appearance, jump in the car, and head over to Williamstown, New Jersey. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, actually, it's going to be a pretty busy day. I have to be at Colony Center, which is actually about – 20 minutes from where I live, so that's not too bad when I start off in the morning. So I'm there about 11 to about 1, and I'll be hopping in the car and driving straight to there. And I'm actually doing a meet and greet before the show starts with Parker Kane's promotion, and right before the show. So I have to get there about 5 o'clock, so I have a 3.5-hour drive, and that's traffic if it's added on, you know what I mean? So I got to get in. So if I'm going to be there about 4:35, I'm cutting it. You know what I mean? I'll do meet and greets there, and then the show will start. And then I'll be heading back home. So, and I have to do a 3.5-hour drive back home. So, yeah, it's going to be a busy day. But if you had to ask me, it's one of the easy days, if you can say.
Yeah. Well, you know, but that's it's like that. I remember back in the days riding with Pete, man, we'd be making them 4-hour drives from here to Vegas, you know, so it's all part of the business. And when you're not in demand and they're not asking you to make them big runs, that's when you got to worry. But when you're in demand and people want to see you and they want to make an appearance and stuff like that, that's a mark of somebody who's putting in work. Now, real quick, Christina, I got to just take a real quick break. Can you hang on for just 1 minute? Because there's a couple of more things I want to ask you before I let you get out. Can you hang on?
What?
Okay, hang on, and we'll be right back. Just like 30 seconds. Hang on. For the people listening to us, you're here, you're at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can go to UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to check out all of this information. And I got Sonya here with me, and we're talking to Courageous Christina Marie. Big show coming up. It's Bash at the Bonanza Saturday, July 9th, which is 2 days away, right around the corner. The doors open at 7:30. Bell time is 8 p.m. It's at the H2O Wrestling Center. It's at 1041 Glassboro Road, Building C, Suite 1 in Williamstown, New Jersey. And also, you could check Christina out at Heroes Hideout. That same day, Saturday, the same day from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., she's going to be at the Colony Center Mall in Albany, New York. So make sure you check her out. Now, real quick, because we're actually running up against the clock. You know, there's so much. Okay, let me tell you this. I've been doing this for a long time, not only just in pro wrestling, but in MMA, you know, and things like that. So when I have regular wrestlers on, you know, I'm not saying just regular wrestlers, but just male wrestlers, independent, whatever, I have certain ratings, okay? But when I have the female wrestlers on, there's a little gauge that you can see when you set your show. And every time I have the women on, the gauge is just straight, I mean, at least 10 to 15% more, you know? So I always like to advertise a little bit early as possible, so that people know who I'm having on or whatever. I didn't get to get Christina, you know, as early as I wanted to, but it was still early enough to when I got home from work, all my emails and all my messages were just completely full. And it happens every time. Now, this is what I get, Christina. I don't know, you know, first of all, you see Christina, you look at she don't take no mess. You know, she's training, she's focused, she's got things to do. So there's a ton of emails that I can't even talk about on the air. But when I have female wrestlers on, I get the same thing. Because they're scared. You know, like, I don't want to say computer warrior or whatever they call them, but this is their chance to ask the questions that they're too scared to ask her to her face. So they're like, hey, Fabi, do me a favor. Ask her if she only dates wrestlers. Ask her if she only dates bodybuilders. Or do you have to be a big dude? And then some of them are like, I'm too scared to want to ask a female wrestler out. What do you need? Do you get that a lot? Or do people just, you know, they know who you are and they come pay you. Talk a little bit about that, because when I have the female wrestlers on, it is just a plethora of emails and messages. So can you talk a little bit about that? Okay, real quick. I'm sorry. I don't mean to talk too much, but I've been doing this for years. My wife, I've been married for almost 30 years. Completely hates wrestling. Hates wrestling, MMA, judo, hates it all. And we've been married for 30 years. So my question to you is, I mean, is it better to have a significant other that is into wrestling or somebody that's totally doesn't like it? So when you come home, you know, you put that on the back burner and you have a different relationship. And I'll put it to you that way. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, that's fine. Actually, it's crazy because I think I had this conversation recently. But, when I first started, I never wanted to date in the business. I ended up dating in the business. But I'm not really, like, about, putting it out too much on social media because, you know, you never know if anything's long-term. If you were with somebody long-term, it'd be different. But I prefer to date in the business. Doesn't mean I'm out there like looking or anything because I'm content right now with my life with who I'm speaking with. So, but like overall, I date in the business because they understand. They understand what comes with it with social media, everything else, and just most of the time you talk about work. And if that's your life and that's your work and that's your dream, like you talk about it consistently. It's the hard part about people, I think, with on the outside relationship, like without having that line, like non-wrestler. Dating either they're about it and very supportive and you know you have wife and kids and like a family and it's kind of like a little bit harder sometimes for some people. They want to keep the family, but wrestling kind of tears a lot of stuff apart, especially because you're away from your family, you're missing special occasions, and it takes away from a lot. But if you know you're with a significant other that does the same thing, if they're traveling, even if they're across the world at different promotions, different platforms, you know what I mean, like you kind of understand, you know, the time, you know you're talking about it through the day, like hey, I'm doing this, or like, you know, it's you understand the lifestyle much easier. I feel like you click,
you know, especially since like now that my daughter is into it. It's weird because then they know that, like you were saying, they understand. Like she knows what I got a show coming up. I have to shave down and tan up because my skin is so white. You can't go out there, you know. And so she knows. So if she's out and she sees the self tanner on sale, she'll buy me a whole bunch, you know, because they already know
the
business. You know what I'm saying? So you kind of can relate. And know what you go through, especially you look at your Saturday, you got to go make an appearance and then you got to go, you know, they understand, oh man, that's all part of the business. You got to get done what you got to get done. But real quick, Sonia, what about yourself? I mean, you've been around this business for a long time. Is it, you know, do you appreciate somebody who understands the business or you want to keep that completely separate?
I appreciate somebody who understands the business. Like the guys are jealous a lot too. And then you're around a lot of guys, you know?
So
it's like they got to know that you're just being cool with them, you know, like, and I don't think that outsiders really understand that.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
It's a big part of the business and it's something that you really can't understand unless you're in it, you know, because a lot of people just see the finished product. You know, they don't see what you go through, you know, to get there. Like you were saying, you know, training and like we were talking about, tanning up because you want to look a certain way. And I see Christina's social media. She gets her gear done, you know, gears on point, everything. You know, it just takes a lot, you know, to get there. And then they would understand, like Jessica, my daughter, we had to get up early, like at 5:30, because we had to go pick up her gear like at 6 o'clock in the morning and drive a certain amount. Regular people don't understand that, you know what I mean? But you guys do. Well, I got to tell you, I think you got something here, not only just because you're on the show or whatever, but I preach this a lot to my wrestling stuff. Hey, man, if nobody knows who you are, they're not going to come and see you. You know, you've got to get out there as much as possible so that people know who you are. Then when they get to that show and they see you and you're in shape and you got your gear together and all that, they're going to say, hey, man, if you see this person booked, you got to go check them out or whatever. So I think that's what's going to separate you from, you know, from – I hate to say like the regular wrestler, the standard wrestler, but just somebody who wants it more. So real quick before we get out of here, which we ask everybody that we have on here, I was telling Sonia, somebody called it, I'm always bagging on WWE. I'm saying it's a circus and it's turning into a clown. But somebody said, hey, man, if they called you tomorrow and said, hey, we need a manager over here You'd be the first person. I was like, yeah, you're right. So regardless of what you say about WWE, that's top of the food chain. That's why everybody's, you know, in line. So what is the specific goal for you, Christina? Because, you know, there's choices. You got AEW to shoot for, or like, you know, different companies that are really starting to come up. Like, I know Ring of Honor got bought out, but I'm just using that as an example. So what's the future hold? What's the main goal for Christina?
You know, if you asked me this a while ago, it was always WWE, ultimate goal. You know what I mean? Since day one,
right.
Of course, WWE, it's been always it. But there's so many different platforms nowadays, not saying, you know, we know that there's higher ones and lower ones. I'd be grateful for anyone. Like, I shared a platform last night. I was on AEW Rampage taping.
Yeah.
You know, and it, you know, it's just a great, it's so natural to me. It feels like a dream, like that platform. Like, I shared that platform with Mercedes Martinez and Serena, and like, I had my tag partner with Kayla Sparks. So we did that last night. And I'm just saying, like, if I'm waiting for any opportunity to just for a place to give me an opportunity, because I am a missing piece to any roster, and I believe that truly. It's just a matter of getting the opportunity, and that's why I'm doing so much now. I'm doing so much. I'm 29. I just turned 29. Not saying age, life, you know, is on a shelf life, but it kind of is for our bodies. As athletes, it gets a little harder, gets a little rougher.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I
tough it through. Like, it's adrenaline. Like, we're adrenaline junkies. Like, I love it. Like, I love wrestling. I love being a wrestler. I love weightlifting. Like, I love anything fitness, but ultimately it'd be any opportunity that comes my way, I will take it. Give me the ball and I'm ready to play. Like, I just, you know, and I'm ready. I'm showing everybody that. That's why I'm doing everything I can. I'm sticking my neck out there and I'm doing the top stuff because I want to be noticed, and I'm going to be noticed.
Yeah, for sure. And it's there. I mean, the proof is there. I mean, I saw how hard you're working. You were saying, hey, man, let's get her on this show. Let's promote her, get it out there, man. The more people that hear about it, that's my goal. You know, people who are making the strides to get there, I want to get as many people to know about it as possible so that place is packed, so that promoter goes, man, you know, these people came to see Christina Marie, and, you know, let's get her out there and get her booked, you know, or whatever. That's the main goal that I have now, because I'm going to be 57 pretty soon. So that's my goal now, just to get it out there. And just for the people to understand that it's a professional sport. You know, that's the thing. People don't see what you go through, you know, to get to where you want to get. So we can appreciate it here at UWC. So for the people listeners, if you're out in the East Coast out there in that New Jersey area, Albany, New York area, make sure you come and check out Courageous Christina Marie. It's Bash at the Bonanza. It's this Saturday. Doors open at 7:30, bell time at 8. It's at the H2O Wrestling Center, 1041 Glassboro Road, Building C, Suite 1 in Williamstown, New Jersey. Make sure you check that out. And don't forget, it's going to be Christina Marie and Mike Law versus Ross and Bradley. So, you definitely want to go check that out. And don't forget, she's going to be at Heroes Hideout this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Colony Center Mall in Albany, New York. So make sure you check it out. Christina, a million thank yous for coming on, man. I think you got something here. I think you just keep pushing, stay focused or whatever, and I think it's just a matter of time till it gets out there. I really think you got something. Anybody else you want to thank or say hello to before we let you get out of here?
No, I just I want to say thank you. You know what I mean? Thank you for having me on. It was an absolute pleasure chatting with you guys. And, you know, come see me at Heroes Hideout. Come chat with me. You know what I mean? I love meeting people. I love getting to know people. You know, I look like a badass, but I'm a very friendly person with open arms. But come meet me and, you know, find out yourself.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad we have you on, because that's what a lot of the people, you know, a lot of these guys are thinking, man, I'm a little too afraid to approach or whatever. But, hey, man, come in, you know, that's what it's all about, you know, meeting the people and letting them know, you know, what's going on. So for the people listeners, don't forget Courageous Christina Marie. Make sure you check her out on all social media. And if you're out in that area, definitely go down and check her out. So, all right, Christina, hey, a million thank yous for coming on. We appreciate it. We'll be keeping an eye on you, and we'll keep you you know, out here on the West Coast, letting people know about you. All right.
All right. Thank you so much, man. And hey, stay courageous.
For sure. Sonia and I will be right back after
Bye, girl.
This. Courageous Christina Marie. We'll be right back. Hey, Sonia, I don't know if it's taboo or whatever to talk about it, but does that happen with PG Jello a lot? Or now that she's been working and stuff and in the business, do some of these wrestlers be like, hey, you know, what's up, man? Let's go to Chuck E. Cheese or something like that.
Jello is, she's so, like, just into herself and what she wants to do right now that she doesn't, like, anytime a guy shows interest in her, she's like, I don't even, she stops talking to them. She's like, anytime, they could be her friend, and then they're like, oh, well, you want to go out with me? She gets upset, and then she stops talking to them because she just wants to focus. I don't know
where. She goes, man, I don't have time for that right now.
Yeah, like, I mean, I love it, but then I also feel like, damn, Jello, you're so mean to people sometimes.
Well, look at the bloodline, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's in the blood.
No.
You're like, I'm busy right now, I don't got time for that.
Yeah, right. No, she has, like, the worst of all of us. Like,
oh,
she's
geez.
The biggest asshole around.
Well,
everything could be going great, and one thing not go her way. The whole day's ruined.
That's it.
Just like
yeah.
my father. Just like my father.
Well, since she's, you know, got a taste, you know, she's got to referee a few matches and she got to get in the ring and see what it's like to work in front of a crowd or whatever. What's the mood been or the consensus been?
She loves it. She had the best time. She wants to get back in there and do it again. But she does have to train more to, you know, she needs more training. But
yeah.
Right now it's so hard for me to take her. And right now I'm also having car trouble. Ooh.
Oh, jeez.
Like,
well,
so my car's in the shop.
Well, it's good and it's bad because it's good because you kind of see, hey, man, it's no joke, you know, when you're in front of a crowd or whatever. And then it's kind of bad because you kind of miss a couple things here and there and people notice. You know what I
mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that too. I wanted her because she gets a lot of anxiety, you know, so sometimes I don't know if she really wants it because fighting was one of her, the MMA thing, because she got bullied in school a lot, you know. And she, like, it just happens to her a lot. People just don't like her. I don't know. she has, like, that resting bitch face, so people just think she's always being a bitch. But
that's the way the world
is. So she gets anxiety from that, and I told her, like, okay, let's see how you do this one. If you really like it, we're going to continue on. But if you don't, if you can't get past this anxiety and face it, you know, like you need to go to school, you know?
Yeah.
But the day of it, she had no anxiety. She had anxiety leading up to it. But that day, she was all ready to go.
Well,
so,
it's in the blood. It's in the blood. And she's been exposed to the business for quite some time, but it like I said, it's good and bad. I mean, at least you know now, hey man, this is what happens when you're up there in front of a bunch of people, and then I gotta clean this up, I gotta do this, I gotta make sure this is done or whatever. So it's a good gauge to show, you know, that it you know, people, like, you know, that's what I hate the most, like, oh, that fake wrestling or whatever. Yeah, try it sometime and let's see.
Try it.
So that's why I wish we were still back in 1999, and I would say, hold on a second. Hey, Pete, this guy says that the business is a fake wrestling. You just give them a beating, and it'll be all over. But let me get Legendary on here real quick so we can talk about his stuff that went on, and then we'll get to the news, okay? Because Sonia says she's got some stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Something very upsetting.
Hello.
Hey, Daryl, it's Fabiano. You're live. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly fine, Bobby.
Perfect. Real quick for the people listeners, you're here. You're at UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com for all the latest information, working on that next show and everything, so we'll keep everybody up to date on there. I'm here with Sonia Marquez, my tag team partner for the UWC Radio, PDP. luckily, I still remembered how to work the board, so he wasn't able to make it, so we're still able to make the show. But on the line with us right now, legend Daryl. There's a few things I want to talk to you about real quick, but before we get going and talk about that, tell us a little bit, it's during the week, the show's really supposed to be on Tuesdays, but there's so many people who are like training on certain days that we can't get them on, and they're here and they're there, so we had to do the show on Thursday. So real quick, tell us about yourself. Is there specific days that you train now, or what's the week like during the week?
I typically I'm recuperating from some injuries, but I typically train Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Oh, wow.
So, and I train twice on Thursdays.
Oh, my God. Well, it must be nice to be young because I'd be dead. Yeah. I'd be train on Monday,
yeah,
be dead by Tuesday, and then recuperate by Friday.
No, I just I just take it super seriously. I want to learn as much,
yeah,
as I can while I can. You know,
yeah,
let me become a let me get to a place where I can be a success and then take a rest after.
Well, look, let me tell you this. There's a lot I want to talk to you about. Okay, this is one of the reasons why I had you on. Now, this is one of the reasons why, that I booked Legendaro and stuff like that. But, I don't know if you're listening to the show earlier, but we had Christina, Courageous Christina on here, who's a wrestler out on the East Coast, Albany, New York. And, I'm on all social media, and I'm always checking stuff out and wrestlers and stuff like that. And this girl really worked to put herself out there. She's in good shape, gears on point and everything. I said, man, she's really putting work in. Let's get her on. Even though we're on the West Coast, let's get her on. And she came on and she talked about it and talked about wrestling with men and stuff like that. So this is what happened with Legendaro. The UWC is more than open to, wrestlers from other said companies or whatever coming down to do broadcasts or to promote their stuff or cut a promo or whatever. So when I called Durango and said, hey, man, you guys are welcome to come down and, plug your shows, and if you want to pass out your flyers or whatever, the only one who showed up was Legendaro. And he was the only one.
Yeah.
So when I saw that, I said, man, this kid is hungry. He wants to get his name out there. He wants people to know, hey, man, I'm Legendaro. I'm working. I'm getting myself out there. I'm training, stuff like that. So I said, when somebody is that driven, let's get him booked. Let's. So I went to a couple of shows. I saw him work for Enoki Dojo Purres or whatever. Now, here's the thing, Daryl. I had you booked in a match that was booked for a certain way. And I guess things happen for a reason, or you never know. Like they always say, oh, well, don't if you go to a show and there's only 10 people out there, you still give 100% because you never know who's going to be out there. This is what worked out. Some people didn't show up. I had to move all these matches. So it ended up being at the Major Love Show, Legendaro and Drew Masters against Nick Zander from New York, who just happened to come with Top Flight from them, and Jim Stranger. That's one of the few matches. Sky High, right? One of the few matches that I actually got to watch. And I went, dude, this match turned out perfect. I mean, the pieces just fell into place, and it was a great match, because Xander's been around for a while. He's a good worker. And then for some reason, you and Drew just really worked well together. So it turned out to be, a great match. And when I talked to Manny, he said, yeah, man, maybe we should put these guys together again or whatever. So that's what I'm talking about. You never know what's going to happen. Now, Daryl, talk about that match a little bit and how you felt. Because a good wrestler is going to say, I don't care who you put in there. We're going to work and we're going to, I'm going to do my best or whatever, which this match turned out to be really well. So talk about that. Was there any like, oh, dude, I thought we were wrestling this and, or it doesn't matter. You're just focused on what you're going to do and it just kind of all worked out.
I mean, complaining about something you really have no control over doesn't really do very well,
right,
in the long run. And when I found out that things got switched around, it didn't really bother me all that much. If anything, I got more excited because I finally got to work with Nick Zander. Him and I'd gotten to work a few shows with him, but I never got to work with him directly one-on-one. So that was just, if anything, it motivated me to work a lot more and figure out more fun spots to do. Because at the time, I was worried about was just putting on a good match. It didn't really bother me that things got changed around. If anything, it motivated me to try harder. So
yeah, and it ended up working out really well. Okay, I mean, I thought it went great. Not just because Daryl's on the show, and I believe in him because he's really putting the effort out there to get out there, right? So Then we go to the Bushido Cup, which was a totally different type of show. You know, it's just, it was a tournament, it was one-on-one or whatever. Now, when I go to a show as a, because I went with two other different promoters, okay, we're not going to mention any names, and we all sit and we talk, and we say, oh, well, you know, I was thinking of booking this guy, well, I, you know, blah, 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 whatever, right? So we watch the matches, and then some of the promoters were like, oh, I don't know, man, and we're just going to be honest here, and I'll be honest with you, and you can ask me any question you want. There's like, oh, I think Daryl got kind of blown up, and I'm like, well, I didn't really see that. And then another one said, you know what, he needs to work on this, and he needs to work on that. So I don't rip wrestlers. And what I told these guys is, hey, you know what? You're not going to have the perfect dance partner every match. You know, it just depends. He's going to do what he's going to do, and it's just that's how it works. You know, so maybe you have to bring it out in him. Like Daryl has to say, well, I'm going against this guy. I got to bring this out in him because he's not used to working this style or whatever. Now, me personally, didn't have a problem with it. I was like, hey, man, that's, you know, the match to me was fine. You know, the matches, the only thing in that Bushido Cup was the matches were a little bit longer than normal because it was a tournament. So, you know, it takes a little bit to grab the attention. So talk a little bit about that. And you can be totally honest here. You know, and I'm being honest with you. I thought it went fine. The matches were a little bit long, and I'm old. You know, it's kind of hard to keep my attention or whatever. But I thought other than that, everything was fine. So talk a little bit about that because, you know, nobody's perfect. But, you know, especially, you know, not that I'm great, but I've been there, dude. I know I've had matches where I've blown up walking to the ring or whatever. So I can honestly say, yeah, man, I had to do this to improve or whatever. I honestly, and just in all honesty, I thought everything went fine. But talk about that because, you know, you're going to get some criticism.
Okay, no, and criticism is fine. It's when you're absolutely, you know, when someone's asking you, what do you think, and you're getting a whole ass bashing because they think it's okay. And that's not very constructive at all. And, you know, you saw me directly, like maybe 10 minutes after that match. I wasn't sweating. I wasn't breathing really hard. I was perfect.
Right.
No, I was like, so when I'm being criticized for being told I'm blown up, when people are forgetting that I was literally attacked before the match, you know, there's this thing called selling that I have to do. So,
yeah.
It was really confusing. Either I did the job too well or people can't tell the difference between an angle or being blown up, and that kind of got on my nerves a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, if anything, it just dissuades me from doing another pretty much attack angle again.
Right.
Because people can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, with the exception of a few miscommunication spots, and I've rewatched the match. I have all the matches recorded. Could the match have been cleaner? Probably. All matches can be cleaner. But, like, at no point did I feel blown up. I've gone 20 to 30 minutes before in a singles multiple times, so I don't understand where the whole blown upness was coming from.
Right. And to me, the key is
honestly,
Didn't you just defend your belt against Nightmare, which is a totally different – that's all lucha or whatever, which kind of shows your versatility, right?
Yes, and that was a 20-minute match that I had to go to literally right after the tag team match that I had over at the ECW show.
Yeah.
And I wasn't blown up in either of those matches.
Yeah. So I can't even find the word that I'm looking for. It's just, I don't know, criticism that, you know, maybe as a promoter you feel like you have to say something, or, you know, like a lot of them don't want to say, well, that was great, because then they kind of think that they're feeding somebody's ego or anything like that. Well, I'll tell you right now, myself and Manny, that's we're totally like, well, bro, we thought this was great, but if you could do this, it'd be even better or whatever. And so far, the matches that I've seen, I thought, well, let's put it this way. I thought the match you had with Nick Xander and them was far beyond my expectations. Let's put it that way. I don't want to say, well, I didn't think you were that good, because that sounds stupid. But when I saw it, I went, man, that was a match and a half, you know? So I really enjoyed it. So I can't sit there at the next show and go, well, you didn't do this right, or what, you know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense or whatever. But it turned into a big argument with me and one of the specific promoters. I mean, we got into it, you know, after that, because we were talking about it. But anyway,
at the UCW show or the
Bushido no after the Bushido Cup. So the point I'm trying to make is it's going to happen. It's going to be there. But you just, you know, you move on and you keep pushing. And people people notice. There's always going to be people who take good things from it and who take bad things from it or whatever. But I'm telling you, okay, this is just me. Thought it was fine. And I thought the match at UWC surpassed what I thought it was going to be. And I thought that the stars weren't aligned. And I was like, thanking God this happened, because it just really turned out better than I thought it would. And it made even more of the show that I expected. So I thought it went well. So I think absolutely nothing to worry about. And this is just me saying, not just because you're on the show or whatever, but I'm just telling you. So now.
Oh, no, fine. You know, I mean, if you want to rip into me, go ahead.
No, but you know what? If I did, I would. You know, if I had something to say, I definitely would. I would say, hey, bro, I think this is great. But, you know, if you did this, I think it would be even much better. But I don't have anything. You know, I thought it went well. I thought it went fine. I really did. I'm not just, you know, blowing smoke. But so now, you know, Manny and I had to take some time off and everything. It takes a lot to do a show. But there's a couple of things that we've already, and I was telling Sonia in the opening that that lasted 3 days. And Manny said, hey, man, let's do this and that. And that was one of them. He told me, let's keep Daryl and Drew Masters together, and let's put them up against this certain tag team or whatever. So you understand what I'm saying? It showed, and he noticed. And if he notices, that's the man who's paying people and, you know, putting the show on. So that's the point I'm trying to make. It doesn't matter. It's still moving forward. So that was one of them. So now what does the future hold? Because you're working a lot, man. I mean, the proof of a good worker is working different, because you work for, you know, Enoki Dojo. You work for us. You work for OCCW, whatever. Is it you just keep training when they call, hey, bro, I'm ready, let's do it, or whatever? Is that what the future is holding for you right now?
Pretty much. You know, I'm just trying to make a good impression anywhere. Like I said, I'm not really – I'm more in opportunities than I am into making money right now. You know, let me show you what I'm worth as a performer, and then we'll see where we're going. I was supposed to work a TWE show, but that kind of went south, so I'm probably going to be working a match over in Victorville this weekend.
Okay.
In late August, to my knowledge, I'll be working against Boom Shasta at Compton Mania. And then me and Callie, who I'm under the impression surprised you with this skill, will be in a tag team match against the Saddle Society.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. So, I mean, I love working matches. For Lucha Pure Wrestle, honestly, their dates, if they have a show and I'm not booked, I'm over there with them. Because I prefer doing my Lucha style and then working on, like, I was always taught, you know, if you work on a body part and then do some flippy dippy stuff on them if I can, keep them off their balance. So I like everything Gringo has taught me so far. So I mean, but there's nowhere I won't work. You know, as long as you know the timing's right.
Yeah, that's good, and that's a mark of a person that's, you know, when you're getting calls and working different companies, that means, you know, you got something there. So we definitely forward. Now, real quick before we get to the news, long term, man. I mean, we talked to Christina about this in her segment. You know, she's like, hey, I got to work a little bit of AEW Dark or Rampage or whatever, and I thought it was great. I would really like to continue, you know, or whatever. She said off air or whatever, when we were talking, you know, you have to be professional. Even if they see, you know, that your gear is clean and you're in shape and all that, that's what they're looking for. So that's, in other words, I don't have to get ready because I stay ready or whatever. So what about yourself? I mean, is it like, look, man, because I hate when people say, you ain't ever going to make it to WWE, or you ain't going to, you don't know what the future holds. So what about yourself? Do you just keep, it's kind of like MMA. Like a lot of these fighters that fight at 155, they stay between 160, you know, or whatever, so that if they do get that call, they're ready to go. It's kind of the same in wrestling. Hey, man, my gear is clean. It's ready to go. I might get the call, you know, from AEW Dark because they're in town or whatever. So what's the future for Legendary?
Well, as of now, one, I always keep my gear in my car. You never know. I'm attending or helping out with, like, ring crew, or just, you know, there to support a friend, you know. I do my best to make connections and meet people. So, and, you know, if someone doesn't show up or, you know, something goes wrong, you know, always keep my ring gear, because, you know, one lesson I learned from The Undertaker's biography is always have your gear on you. As far as how high I want to shoot on the mountains, right now I got into this so I could work in Japan. I don't have any aspirations for like AEW or WWE at the moment. I'm literally doing this so I could wrestle and work in Japan right now. So So whether it's for Pro Wrestling NOAH, New Japan, All Japan, DDT Pro, it doesn't matter where for me. That form of wrestling has always kind of been my inspiration. So that's why I went to Durango, because he's wrestled that style. He teaches that style.
Yeah.
And that's how come and that's how come I can go fairly long matches, because that form of wrestling in Japan is seen more as a sport than it is entertainment. So that's kind of where I'm
like
shooting for. That is kind of why I'm shooting right. Yes. And that's kind of what I'm shooting for right now. How do I say this? Yeah. So as far as WWE and AEW stuff goes, that's not really my shtick. I just, you know, want to take everything that I've learned and, you know, I go to all the seminars. I go to the New Japan seminars, the Davey Richards seminars, you know, people who have worked in Japan, because they're the ones, you know, who know the style, they know the names. So that's kind of what I'm shooting for at the moment. I am, you know, I've got my passport ready. If they ever call, even just to work ring crew and, you know, make the impression, like, I know that if I were to work ring crew or backstage, I'll make the impression I need to get where I need to go. That's just how I've always been. Or showing up early to a podcast, because, you know, that will be how you make the right impressions. So
yeah, it makes a difference, man. It makes a big difference. I'm telling you. Well, real quick, you know, because we're running up against the clock, I got to get to Christina, to Sonia's news. Hey, you want to hang with us for that, Daryl, or do you got to go, or do you got to take off?
How long is it going to take?
About 15 minutes.
That's fine. I can wait 15.
Okay, and if you have to go, just let me know. But let me take a quick, just a real quick break. We'll come back and we'll get to the news real quick. Hang on, everybody. Quick break. How about that? I was able to say everything real quick. But for the people listeners, you're here, you're at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to get all the latest information. We've got Legendary online. Going to hang with a little bit for the news real quick. And we got Sonia. Sonia, go. I know you're chomping at the bit to tell us what you got going on. So give us a minute.
Okay, so I was, I heard the other day, I think on the 5th, that Logan Paul was signed to WWE. I missed that. Yes. Like, what the heck is that?
So do you hope that he gets creamed? Or do, because, you know, they're smart, though, man. They, you know,
WWE is driven
to get that wow factor or whatever, you know. So that's probably why they did it. So you think that's why they did it, Sonia, to get that wow factor?
Yeah.
To be, oh, wow, he's here. Let's get him.
Yeah, but I hate him.
And how
I
did
hate
they
him so
you?
Much I would stop watching because of him.
Well, I mean, but he is pretty athletic, though. You think he'll do well, or you think he'll fall on his face?
He's good. He is athletic, and he is a good fighter, but I just hate his personality, the way he is, and just everything about him. I can't stand him.
Legendary, I think that's the whole point, right, of booking him. It's like they hate him, so they're going to want to see him get killed, right? Right, Daryl?
Yeah, but then what ends up usually happening is, like with Bad Bunny, if they can work and, you know, they want to make the right impression with the fans, they'll surprise you and end up showing that they can work good matches.
Yeah.
I mean, like they at no point wanted to make Logan Paul a, like, they think they tried for a second to make Logan Paul a face. They realized it wasn't working. They turned him into a heel. And now we've all seen what he can do in the ring. And the thing with these audiences, they'll reward you if you're showing that you're taking this job seriously and, you know, you're doing work. So.
That's true.
And Logan has surprisingly shown he can do the work.
Yeah. So maybe they're smart to capitalize on it, right, Sonia? I mean, they're thinking, well, this will draw hate and like, so let's go ahead and do it. Are you, Sonia, are you for that, or is coming from the business, you know, especially with your dad, who I trained with, he hated that crap. So you think it's good for the business, or you think they should stop?
I hate it, but right now he is big because, like, you know, he did those fights where he won a couple, I guess.
Yeah.
So people are liking him as an athlete right now. So I guess enjoy the buzz, but I don't think he'll last that long.
They got to strike while the skillet is hot. So, hey, it remains to be seen. We'll have to check it out. I might be interested to check it out just to see how well he does. And like Daryl said, he might come really show that he can work. He's putting in the time, so we might have to check it out. Yeah, so we'll see. Well, real quick, let me take this around to the horn. I like to take this around when we have a guest on, of course, during Sonia's news segment. But, you know, I was so happy that Brody King got a shot at the belt. But we were talking, I can't remember who I was talking to yesterday, and I said, you know, there is no way on God's green earth that they're going to let Brody King go over for that belt, especially when it's Moxley and it's his first defense or whatever. But when I was talking to this certain person, I said, you know, that's what the sport needs. Like, if they would have put Brody King over, nobody would have been expecting it. And they would have said, oh, my God, he beat Moxley. And it would have really gave Brody King a push, and I would have been happy. I was like, yes, you know, they fought. But everybody knew that there was no way that that was going to happen. So let's take it around the horn. We'll go to our guest, Daryl, first. Daryl, do you kind of see what I'm saying? Don't you kind of think, man, that would have been great if they would have let Brody go over because it would really shock the world? Or you think it's getting predictable now and that AEW is kind of getting like WWE and you know who's going to go over?
I don't think Brody would have been the right guy to win the belt, like, because you have to remember eventually CM Punk does have to come back. And do you really, what you like, you sometimes predictability can be a good thing. You know, people are comfortable with predictability. You know,
yeah.
it's fun to have, you know, title matches with no consequences, and, you know, it makes for a good main event, but, like, what's going to put butts in the seats?
Yeah.
CM Punk versus Brody King for the AEW World Championship, or CM Punk versus Jon Moxley for the AEW Championship? I'm not shooting on Brody King. I'm just saying you have to think long-term. And I don't.
Yeah.
And honestly, Brody King doesn't need the belt anyways right now. He's fine where he is at the House of Black. I don't see it really helping him at all. So,
yeah,
it's not bad that it's predictable. I just think in the long term, the belt would be better on Moxley.
Sonya, what do you think? You watch AEW at all and see what's going on over there? Because to me, it's starting to get a little bit predictable.
Sometimes. Well, I'm not watching it that much to see if it's predictable right now because I'm more into WWE right now. But I do like Brody King better than Moxley, so I would have preferred Brody.
Okay, well, let's put
it's
it
okay to be wrong.
Let's put it this way. I cannot stand WWE. I think it's a circus or whatever, and I pray every night before I go to bed that they let Chad Gable go and let him, because that man has more talent than anybody on that roster. And I don't know why he has to put everybody and their mother over. You know, he Randy Orton must have killed him 40 times before he left or whatever, is doing whatever he's doing. I think
yeah.
that guy's got talent, and he is just burying that dude. So I hope that sooner or later they're either going to come to their senses or let him go so that him, Akira Tozawa, people like that are really talented, let some people like that go. But then it kind of floods AEW and they don't get a chance to shine over there because there's so many people
yeah.
that have come over there. So let's take that around the horn. Sonya, what do you think? Too many AEW getting a little bit too flooded with stars, or you think they should kind of pull
yeah.
back, or what do you think?
I think so too. I think stars should stay at WWE because, yeah, if, well, I don't know. Maybe if they're all on one, that's cool too. But then a lot of them don't get a lot of time.
Yeah.
To like.
Yeah, or
shine.
Putting people over. Yeah, it's crazy. Well, Legendaryl, tell us about that. How about Chad Gable versus like Daniel Bryan or something like that? Would you pay to see that?
I would love to see that, especially with Tony Khan being open and working with WWE in the future. You know, we all saw the footage of them together at that UFC show recently.
Yeah.
And with
yeah.
Vince going through this weird midlife crisis right now, I think we would do better to see a bit of a crossover pay-per-view than WWE just releasing dudes and going AEW. AEW has shown that it is not the be-all, end-all, and now that they've got worthwhile stars, they're letting all these indie guys help build the letting all these indie guys who help build the company go or just work AEW dark, and I don't really see that helping anybody. That's become I wouldn't want to mess with AEW. Like, AEW dark, that's fine, but I already know they wouldn't keep me around on the main roster. I'd be lucky to get Rampage, you know, or I'd be a journeyman, and I just don't want that for me. I think you're being a little too negative on WWE. Like, this last Monday, they put on a really great show. I think you're only focusing on what they're doing wrong instead of what they're doing right.
Probably.
Like,
probably.
If you told me what was better, if you told me what they were doing, if you told me which roster was being handled better women's-wise, WWE is destroying the women's wrestling in right now. And this is coming from me having just watched Thunder Rosa versus Toni Storm,
yeah.
versus the Asuka and Becky Lynch street fight main event we just got.
That was
good. WWE, when they get it right, they get it right very well. You know, their pay-per-views, I haven't seen a bad WWE pay-per-view in almost a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I'm sorry, premium live event.
Maybe I'm just not open to it, you know, because I don't even watch it because it just, you know, I'm annoyed. So maybe I should, and maybe I should try to, you know,
stay.
It did
go bad for a while, though.
Yeah, that the point.
That's
well,
probably
let's
why.
Put it this way. And
well, the shows they don't care. Well, sometimes episodic shows they don't care about. But when it's time to go, I think the pay-per-views are when they all bring their A game and it's like, you know, we got to show the world like Hell in a Cell, Bachelor Fast Expectations. WrestleMania was a wild explosion, and I was under the impression you had watched that. SummerSlam was looking to be a solid card with John Cena versus Austin Theory, Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar part 5. No, this is part 6.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns, that's going to be part 6 of their series, which is not that bad when you have to remember we've seen John Cena versus Randy Orton 22 times. So, I mean, and I don't remember being as bored as the internet would make us sound to be. So, I mean, when WWE gets it right, they get it right very well. And like I said, AEW doesn't need any more stars. AEW should probably develop some of those indie guys instead of just, you know, trading them out anytime they get a new WWE toy.
Now, that I agree with. There's so we didn't even have time to enjoy Andrade or any of those guys because they just came and somebody else came right behind them. But let me tell you something, and I'll leave you with this. I like surprises, and I like change, and I like things that are different because let me tell you something. The Crash promotion in Tijuana, when they brought Mustache Mountain down to wrestle against Mecha Wolf and Bestia, I thought that was the greatest thing I've ever seen. I mean, it took guts to make that match because you don't know, you know. Well, they knew that the guys from Mustache Mountain were going to be good workers, but I'm pretty sure they didn't know, well, if we put them with Mecha Wolf and Bestia, how's it going? And it tore the roof off that place. So when I saw that, I thought, now this is a guy that's not afraid to take chances, and it really worked out. So I'm kind of looking for something like that, something where you go, whoa, I never thought that would happen in my lifetime, and it did. So you kind of get what I'm saying there, Legendary? Did you see that match?
No.
Oh,
but I do pay attention to Twitter, and Dirt Cheats it.
Yeah, it might.
I'm not gonna lie
to
you, I did. I do pay attention to Dirt Sheets and
like
the Twitter and the Instagram. You know, I pay attention to who debuts where and when, and you can be surprised on who shows up.
Yeah, it might be on YouTube if you get a chance to check it out. But I just thought that takes guts and that's different. It's like, wow, you know. So Sonya, that's what I'm talking about. I like surprises and I like to be. That's just me. You know, I don't. Like predictability. I like to see stuff that's just different. Because in the indie scene, as Sonya knows, when she comes to the meetings of Manny and I talk, you know, there's a lot of wrestlers out here. So if you keep booking them the same, it kind of gets kind of stagnant.
Yeah.
So I like to mix it up and say, oh, dude, like if one thing that drew me to PCW, Joseph Cabibo's federation, is when he brought Damien and Bestia down and they went against War Beast, which was Jacob Fatu. I said, man, that's different. I'm going to have to go to check that out because I want to see it. And it turned out it was a bonus because it was Jake Atlas against Daga, and that was easily match of the year. I had the flu, and I took money out of my pocket, walked sicker than a dog up to that front row to throw some money in there because it was amazing. So you kind of get what I'm saying, Sonya, about different, mixing it up and surprising, and it just really got me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do understand about that. I do like seeing different wrestlers. I don't want to see the same ones over and over and over. I mean, unless they're my favorite.
Yeah, just something different. Legendary, am I crazy, or you think I've kind of got something there?
I'd have to see it to see how it goes, to be honest with you.
Well, let's put it this way. I have no problem. Like, okay, somebody like Drew Master, somebody like Legendary, somebody like Cali or something like that. If I bring somebody from Mexico, let's say I bring Bandido or somebody like that, I would have no problem putting them against these guys. And you know what you're going to say? Dude, I would never think of that matchup in a million years. Let's see what this guy's got. So you would come and pay to see it. Right, Daryl?
Yeah.
Sure. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm not scared to do that. I will do it. And I have been told many times that's dumb, don't do it. But I am not afraid to do that. So we'll just leave it right there, man. I want to mix it up before I retire fully, and I want to go out with the bang where people go, dude, I never thought that would happen in a million years. So anyways, Legendary, a million thank yous for coming on, man. I appreciate you coming on and talking and being open with us and all that. You know, I appreciate you, you know, coming to cut the promos and, you know, put the work in, man. A lot of these guys don't want to do that, and you're one of the few that do. So for the people listening, check out Legendary on social media. He's always keeping everybody up to date on his social media, and he's always working. He's always at the shows, so make sure you check him out on there. All right, Dale, you good, my man? I'll see you soon, all right?
Yes, sir. What was this big news you wanted to pop out, though?
I can't remember, to be honest with you. I got so much going on, and then PDP, my board guy, didn't show up, so I had stuff written down. Don't know what happened to it, so I'll try to remember and put it out there.
How about that?
All right. Appreciate you coming on. We'll talk to you real soon. All right, my man?
Okie dokie.
All right. Legendary, everybody. Make sure you check him out. Sonia, I got to get out of here. You know, dude, it's working so much and everything and trying to get everything set. We're definitely going to take, you know, another week off. So maybe not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, we'll probably try to meet again and figure out where we're going to go from there and what's next for the United Wrestling Council. So we look forward to seeing you then. Hopefully, PDP will be back with us. We're going to try to do a show on Tuesday. You know, if it doesn't happen, I'll make sure and let you know what's happening. All right, Sonia?
All right.
And I appreciate you coming on and giving the women's perspective, man. You know, it's – I got to tell you, the women's wrestling is – you know, it's out there. People want to see it. You know?
I like it. I think I've always preferred watching the girls ever since I was little. Like when my dad had the ring in the backyard, I remember – when some of the girl wrestlers would come over, I would sit there in the corner and just watch them. Like, that was my favorite.
And even though we had matches upon matches with matches, you know, a lot of the girls are the ones who got the, you know, the pictures in the pub, and the people like, oh, did you see the girls match? And they had girls, and I saw, I don't know what it is, but they really like it. So we're going to keep pushing forward, you know, tell PG Jello, you know, we look forward to keep that training and getting out there. And, you know, I don't want to say this, so don't tell her because she'll probably hear it anyways. But I really think if she sticks with the pro wrestling, she's got something. She's it's really gonna get out there.
Yeah.
You know, mixed martial arts, that's cool.
She's a natural.
You know, but the injuries are already starting to kind of get there or whatever. But it's her choice. Who am I to tell anybody what to do? All I can say is I think that she comes. It's in the blood. She comes from wrestling or whatever. I think it's just a matter of time till she gets bit by the bug and says, "Man, I'm going to keep pushing forward." Give me your thoughts on that, real quick.
She loved it. She loved it. She already is, like, she wants to get back in the train, but like I said, I don't have my car. She keeps failing the driving test, so
There's a couple of places that are a lot closer to you too. So we'll talk and see if we can get some stuff going or whatever.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, definitely. So, all right, Sonia, a main thank yous for coming on. If you talk to PDP before I do, let them know that we're going to try to get everything going again next Tuesday. So for the people listening, don't forget UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com. We'll keep everybody up to date on there. Sonia, hopefully I will see you Tuesday, if not Wednesday or Thursday. How's that?
Yes. Just let me know.
All right. Please tell. All right. Please tell PG Jello, I said, tell her as well as Mike and your other sister, you know, I leave so many people out because, you know, I talk so much or whatever. You know, we still want to make sure we keep everybody, you know, informed to keep it all together because we do need help.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all on board.
Yeah, let them know. Let them know we're gonna start getting a lot more going. It's just a matter of time. So, all right, I'll see everybody next week. Sonia, I'll see you then. We'll be back next week. Make sure you tune in to UWC Radio.